This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Mental illness is a very serious thing. It's something that can cause life-changing events to take place in one's life. It can affect people around you. It can affect yourself. It can do so many horrible things if left untreated. With treatment, though, there's a lot of hope for almost anyone, depending on what they're going through. And they're not having to sit there and struggle alone or end up lashing out at others and ruining others' lives, or in some cases, taking others' lives. What exactly is going on in the case of Shannon Vander Ark is anyone's guess. I'm not here to diagnose anyone, nor can I. At this juncture, neither can Siobhan Scott. But we can certainly take a look at this case and try to figure out what the heck is going on with this woman, because it's so heartbreaking, disturbing, malevolent, dark, evil. I mean, the list goes on and on when you look at the behavior that this woman exuded towards her children, and especially the child that ended up dying of malnutrition. There's a lot to unpack here. Siobhan, when you've seen her testimony now and have learned about this case, what are your thoughts on what we're dealing with her?
I have so many thoughts, and it's you know, clinically fascinating and absolutely horrifying. Yeah. I felt watching her testimony, the word that kept coming into my mind, which is not a clinical word, but it just fit for me, was Nazi guard. We read about the things the Nazi guards did in concentration camps and the brutality and the sadism. And that's what I felt like I was watching, this incredible, cold, callous person justifying what they were doing to this innocent kid. I mean, it's just something that's so hard, I think, for, I'll put us in the category of normal people, to wrap our minds around. And is it truly mental illness? You know, I saw no evidence of psychosis. The lady is grounded in reality. She was functioning in the workplace. She wasn't having delusions and hallucinations, certainly doesn't evidence that at all. And, you know, she was cogent, but her thinking is distorted in the way of someone with severe personality pathology.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of child abuse in this country. Unfortunately, it goes on around the world, but typically it's episodic. It's someone who has poor parenting skills, low frustration tolerance. They blow up at the kid, and it's periodic, you know, and often they feel badly after they do it. Sometimes there's substance abuse involved, but that's a more typical kind of child abuse that we see. And that's awful too. But it's in a different category completely than child torture. And this is a subset of child abuse that's very distinct. And we see patterns with child torture over and over again. 1-2% of child abuse cases fall under child torture. And this is classic in that way. And so with cases like this, usually the parents are not psychotic, although they may sometimes be delusional. We certainly saw that in the Daybell case. There was some delusional thinking going on. But what seemed most likely to me, and again, yes, I can't give a diagnosis, but I can certainly comment on things that could be happening and that certainly look like they're happening clinically. The other thing that came to mind, apart from Nazi, was, I think, dark tetrad, which is an interesting theoretical model where a person has a terrible confluence of traits from some of the more serious personality problems. And that includes psychopathy, that tendency to be cold and callous, the narcissism, everything is about them. Machiavellianism, which is this tendency to be super manipulative, but in this very dark way. And then the kicker is sadism. They actually get some kind of sense of pleasure from inducing pain on someone. And in this case, it's a child, which is absolutely horrifying. The dark tetrad is very serious. It's very malevolent. And these people can do really awful, awful things. The other interesting thing that I noticed in her testimony over and over, she still doesn't have insight. She's a bright enough woman, but she has no insight. And that's classic in these child torture cases. They'll give excuses. The child was incorrigible. And she kept saying he wouldn't stop being sneaky. Well, he was starving to death, you know, and there was this constant urge to break him, to break his will, to dominate him to the point of killing him.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard the stories of hot sauce, you know, the horrendous physical abuse. The social isolation is classic and often isolated from other family members. You know, she was hiding him away with these motion sensors. I mean, it is just such an extreme case. And I think in that way, it's absolutely horrifying. Would this woman benefit from psychotherapy in any way? Probably not.
No.
Probably not. There's just too much wrong.
That being said, I mean, is this like literally a kind of a case where the person is just so broken that there's not much that's going to help them, you know, going forward? Granted, I'm sure if found guilty, she'll be spending probably the rest of her life in prison, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I mean, when someone is like this, I mean, is there any resolution to this other than heavy medication? Even that, I don't know what you would do with someone that is this broken.
Yeah, I don't think she's a candidate for medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that she was depressed. I don't know that she had an anxiety disorder. You know, there were certainly no classic signs of things that medication would help with. And as I said, no psychosis, so no antipsychotic medication would be helpful. So would talk therapy help her? No, I think if she were out of prison, extensive case management where she is watched and monitored and should never be around children. This is somebody I wouldn't trust raising puppies, let alone kids. And I had, you know, some thoughts about the older son, Paul.
Yeah, I want to talk about him.
Yeah, he really, you know, we've talked about, can a person be brainwashed? Only in extreme cases. And it struck me that he was frightened of her. He looked like he may have some neurodevelopmental problems in some way, certainly not as bad as Timothy. But he looked like someone who had been completely controlled and intimidated by her and was very frightened of her. And
Yeah. When you have that, because he is also facing child abuse charges as well. Granted, yes, on paper, he is 21 years old. But when you look at the reality of this, look who raised him. Look what his reality was growing up.
Yeah.
I'd say competence-wise and mentally, felt like I was looking at more like a 14-year-old in terms of his interactions and what his mental capacity truly is.
Seemed very young,
and
he had problems understanding some of the very basic questions, and he had difficulty expressing himself. And that was so sad. It was sad to watch his testimony.
And when you have a recipe like that, I mean, that's what I look at everybody. It's like, what's the recipe that made this person? And you look at it and look at her. This is the person who raised him. I don't think it's a far stretch to see that he went along with what mom wanted to do and do mom's bidding. Very, Norman Bates-ish, as I've been saying quite a bit. And he does face those charges. I know that his testimony is in exchange for some leniency when it comes to him being charged and penalties and such. But, I mean, what is the best route for someone like him? Because, yes, obviously, he was an adult. He did somewhat participate with what his mother had him doing. One could argue he could have said no, he could have left. There's all those things. But when you're under this sort of abusive control, it's not that easy. It's not easy just to walk away from that, especially when that's all you've been conditioned to know your entire life.
Yeah, and also taking into account as a mitigating factor his capacity. You know, does he have some cognitive limitations? Does he have some developmental problems? And it certainly looked to me like he does. Mm-hmm. And so he is someone that I think therapy could help. He's probably never going to function really well, sadly. So the prognosis is not real good. But I don't think he innately had those dark tetrad qualities that his mother had. And so I mean, if I had the magic wand, I would say some kind of residential treatment program for him would be more appropriate than prison,
yeah.
You know, where he would have therapy ongoing and live in a structured environment. And basically he has to be reparented.
Yeah. And he's reconditioning, reparenting from the ground up because of the damage that was done there. I mean, people like this, it's scary because if you ran into her at a grocery store, unless you really got into an in-depth conversation, you probably wouldn't think much of her.
Have no clue.
Really doesn't stand out in a crowd. Her confidence on the stand was creepy. The way that she talks about these allegations against her, almost as if, you know, she's talking about going to McDonald's with the same amount of emotion or care. Mm-hmm. Is this someone where she too does not, I mean, does she grasp the gravity of what she did, or is there just nothing there that's, you know, others, we all have scales like this is a really bad thing and this kind of goes down here. Is it all on the same playing field for people like this? And that's why they can't discern what's right and what's wrong and what's appropriate and not appropriate?
Yeah, the thinking errors that I think goes with her personality disorder is that this was an incorrigible child, her behavior was justified, and she kept saying repeatedly, he needed to learn not to be sneaky. That is so strange, particularly when the sneakiness was about he was trying to get food and not starve to death.
Yeah.
And I didn't sense that she has any clue or really any remorse. You know, if she were put back in this situation, she might give him an extra piece of bread so he doesn't die because she doesn't want to get in trouble. But really, I think her only distress is that she's in trouble now.
Yeah.
So she's not happy about that. And she's coming up with these, you know, again, the use of psychobabble that's meaningless. Oh, she has PTSD. Oh, she has dissociation. She conveniently can't remember, you know, these texts that were just horrendous. It's an act, and that's the manipulative part here. And she knows how to appear normal in public. Apparently appeared normal in her job, ironically, as a clerk at the courthouse.
Yeah, I mean, this is someone who also passed the bar, which is a scary thing as well to think of. This is not someone who is not intelligent in terms of things like that. And when you have that combination with this deviancy, it can get very scary. I want to talk about one other point here. This is someone who came from Oklahoma to Michigan, essentially fleeing Oklahoma because the spotlight was on her there for the for possible abuse of her children and the way that treatment had been going on there. Leaving state lines seemed to solve that problem for her. That seems like that's another, amongst many, many, many things in our child welfare systems, another big glaring problem where one could just simply, well, you're looking at me here. If I go over here, you can't touch me. Kind of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a horrible case here in Oregon that was similar in many ways. The children were starved, beaten, isolated, homeschooled. That way nobody at school, you know, could file reports and notice what was going on. But in this case, I believe there were four or five children. They were all adopted. And it ended up in a suicide where the adopted mother drove off a cliff with them and it got a lot of publicity. But that's exactly what they had done when they would get in trouble in one state, they would just up and move to another state. And that shows the fragmentation. Again, you know, we talk about so often in the prisons and in other aspects of the law, different states do things differently. And there's not a lot of coordination. And I don't think the child welfare system is coordinated from state to state. And again, when we get a terrible outcome like this, we can look at the faults that need to be corrected. And I hope that we see something change with that.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.